believe I have a timely word for you this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, a soldier, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. Everybody say under authority. Having soldiers under me. He was a man under authority, but he was a man also with authority. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another man, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And if you'll drop down to verse 13, you will see the conclusion of this dialogue between Jesus and this centurion soldier. Because Jesus responds and he says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I want you to listen to the next thing that I say very, very closely. Now, I want your attention this morning. You need to hear this. If you can get this message today and apply it to your life, it can revolutionize your world. This is simply one of those messages. It's not going to be a series. It's not going to be complicated. This is going to be a very simple message this morning that can revolutionize you as an individual, your relationship with your family, your relationship with God, and your relationship with humanity. This is that powerful, not because I'm the preacher, but because of the word and the understanding of the word this morning. If we can get this, it will change us. And so I've simply titled the message, Understanding Authority. Understanding Authority. We've been led to believe somehow that because some authority figures have abused their power, that all authority is to be disposed of. And that simply is not true. Started about 50 years ago, back when people began to rebel against authority. They began not want to be told what to do. I wrote something down a while ago. You might have seen me on my phone. I promise you, I'm not texting. I'm writing down notes. I was looking everywhere for an ink pen because I always feel uncomfortable when I pull my phone out. I feel like everybody's thinking, well, what's he doing? Look at him up there on the platform. He's got his phone out texting somebody, you know. He's not even engaged in the service. No, I'm very engaged in the service. It's just that I have come to the age that if I don't put it down right now, it is gone forever. And the thought came to me that we often talk about freedom and the importance of freedom. And sometimes people have gotten to the way of thinking that freedom is the lack of laws. Freedom is the lack of boundaries. You know, I don't want to go to that church because they have stipulations. They have boundaries. They have laws, whatever they want to deem them to be. And so they'll look at certain things. But I want you to understand today that freedom can only be in existence with laws and with boundaries being in existence to create the very freedom that we are protecting. You cannot be completely free in Christ without completely submitting to the authority of Christ. I'm going to say that one more time because we need to understand this. We want freedom, and we think freedom as being able to do whatever we want to do, live whatever way we desire to live, make whatever decisions that we decide to make, and then we expect God to come and bail us out. We want to do all the wrong things, make all the wrong choices, and have all the right circumstances come out of those choices. But that's simply not the way it works. God says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But if you will follow his word, if you will live your life according to his pattern, if you will do what he calls you to do, if you will seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then the windows of heaven will be opened up to you, and God will be able to bless you, but only when you submit to his authority. The devil has done an excellent job of selling us on the I'm going to do things my own way thing. You can find any kind of belief system that you want. People have come to the stage a lot of times where they're not interested in the truth. The truth really doesn't matter. We're living in a day and hour where we just want something to align with how we feel instead of our feelings aligning with what is true and what is right. And there are people out there that take advantage of that all day and all night. And there are people that can gather crowds together of bitter, angry people that aren't any more interested in the truth than the man in the moon. And they can come in and they can devise groups and devise plans and gather together and formulate and begin to do all kinds of illicit activities, all in the name of religiosity. But I've come to tell you tonight, the word says to buy the truth, and don't you ever sell it. When you get a hold of something that is righteous, when you get a hold of something that is true, you better hang on to it. Don't you let anybody strip it away from you. You follow the authority and the establishment that God had designed for his people. We even see where men think they can manipulate God into doing what they want him to do. I've come to tell us today that God is still in the driver's seat. You may not be able to recognize it when you look at this world. You may want to say, God, where are you? I don't see you in anything. This world is gone nuts. It's full of chaos, and there's all kinds of things that are ravaging our world, everything from Mother Nature all the way down to men that are in power and causing all kinds of havoc. We've got North Korea threatening nuclear power. We've got tornadoes, and we've got hurricanes, and we've got all kinds of things going on. There's earthquakes down in Mexico last week. All these different things are taking place, and by man's point of view in the world, you look at things in this world and you think it's all disorder, it's all chaos. But it's when you go into the word of God that you'll see, no, it's not all order and all disorder, and it's not all chaos. As a matter of fact, it is aligning right up with what the word of God says is going to happen. It's all purposeful. It's all according to God's word. He's still the ultimate authority. I don't care what anybody says. And he has miracles awaiting those who will submit completely to him and his word. The Bible says that a soldier came to Jesus, and it tells us what kind of a soldier it was. It says it was a centurion soldier, which basically means that this particular man that came to him, who was a soldier, he had a rank that allowed him to command upwards of right about 100 men that were underneath him. He was in charge of 100 people that were his subordinates. Amen. Those of you that served in our military, we have many of you that are here today. You will understand and you will relate to this message well today. And most of you could stand up and probably agree with this statement, that if there is one thing that the military will do for you, it is to help you understand who has the authority. It's not going to take you very long when you come right out of boot camp to understand that you're at the bottom of the rung, is it, Brother Hogan? You didn't come out of boot camp and they just promoted you to lieutenant colonel. You didn't come straight fresh out of boot camp and wind up being a master sergeant. No, there was a rank of authority and you fell very low right out of boot camp. Amen. It's to let you know that that patch that is on the sleeve of that officer means something. It commands respect, and it lets you know whose words and whose orders are to be followed. There are 26 ranks in the United States Army, from private all the way up to five-star general. We have many here that understand this because you served this great country. Your sergeant may tell you to run 5 miles with an 80-pound sack on your back because he didn't like the way your shoes were shined that morning. Maybe your bed wasn't made to his expectations. And so he has the authority to come in and say, son, you put that backpack on and you run till I tell you you can stop running. And there's nothing that you can do about it but do what your sergeant tells you to do. However, if a major general walks into the room and tells you, son, you don't have to listen to what your sergeant tells you to do, all of a sudden the sergeant takes a step back and says, yes, sir, you listen to the general. Why? Because having a problem with authority has very big problems attached to it. A breach of authority is a serious matter. It is imperative that authority be understood or everything falls to pieces. That's why there are ranks. The centurion said, there is one who serves under me that is sick. One of my servants, he's not just sick, but Jesus, he's bad sick. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he's grievously tormented. In my mind, I began to think about what that must have been. He had a palsy, and I wonder if he lay at home in bed. Now, they didn't have ibuprofen that I know of back in biblical days. They didn't have Oxycontin and all these other things that half of the nation is addicted to now that can ease the pain. As far as I know, there were no morphine drips. If you were hurt, if you were wounded, if you were sick, you just had to deal with it the best you could. And this servant was laying there in my mind, writhing in pain, possibly screaming out in agony over the pain, so much so that the man who was in authority over him said, I'm going to do everything that I can to help you. So he goes to Jesus. He says, there's one that serves me that is sick, grievously tormented. And Jesus responds very rapidly per the word of the Lord. Basically, he says, let's go. I'm going to help him. Which way to your house? When all of a sudden, the centurion makes a statement that changes everything. It's still a lesson to us today to grasp onto, to help us understand the power of the one we are serving today. The centurion stopped him in his tracks by saying, Lord, I am not worthy that you should even bother to make the trip. And then he says something that sets him in a place of prominence in the hall of faith when he says, if you'll just say the word, that's good enough for me. If you'll just speak the word, Jesus, that's all I need. Because if I can just get you to say the word, if I can just get you to speak it, I have the faith that by the time I get back home that everything's going to be okay. You know why, God? Because I'm a man who understands authority. You see, we like for God to make the trip with us. Most of the time, if Jesus says, well, I'll come along with you, we'll gladly take him and walk arm in arm with Jesus. And the whole time we're bending his ear and we're telling him, well, this God, this is what happened. And we're explaining all the details to him. Well, when he was a little boy, you know, he had a little issue with this and a little issue with that. And all of a sudden, it's reared its ugly head again. And about 7 years ago, we noticed he had a limp walking. And we began to bog Jesus down with all the details, like somehow that's going to make him understand how he's going to be able to fix our problem. We like to bend his ear. We like to explain to him, well, this is how I got in this mess. We like to justify our plight to Jesus Christ. And so we'll gladly take him and walk with him and keep him in our company as long as we can. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But when we understand the authority of the one to whom we are speaking, it's when we come to the realization that all it really takes is just a word. There's been times in my past where I think if I can get somebody up in the altar that's sick and I can scream in their ear loud enough until they're half deaf, then God will heal them. If I can grab a hold of their forehead and shake their until I mess their complete hairdo up and I've got nothing but hairspray and goo all over my hands, if I walk away from church and my hands are all sticky from all the hair goo I've got, and somebody needs to go see Dr. Mike Bernay and get their neck fixed because I've shaken them enough that they can walk away healed. Let me tell you something. It's not in our actions. It's not in what we do there. All I've got to do is simply lay the hands of an elder upon somebody and say, be thou healed. And it can be in a quiet little small voice, but if I can get God to say the word, everything will be okay. The captain said, I understand how this works. And the reason I understand how this works is because I am a man of authority. I am a man with authority. When I tell my men to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. When I tell somebody, I need you to do this, they don't ask me why. They just go out and do it. In modern day language, what he's saying, when I tell my men to jump, they say, yes, sir. How high do you want me to jump? When I say, get your face down in the mud and give me 20, they say, sir, yes, sir. I understand authority. You see, the authority over me keeps me in check, but also backs up the authority that I have. That's why the centurion said, I'm a man of authority. There are those that serve me, but then there are those to which I serve. I'm not just some wild maniac out here, some totalitarian mindset that says I am going to ultimately rule everything and I don't have to be questioned by anybody. There's no checks and no balances. There's no word but the word that I say. He said, I am a man whose lives of other men weigh in the balance because of what I may tell them to do, but I am also a man that is responsible to go to somebody that is above me, and when they question me, I have to have an answer for them as well. The authority over the centurion kept him in check, but it also was there when he needed help. In other words, the patch on the captain's sleeve is backed up by more than just his own ability. It's backed up by more than just the 100 who served under him. But if he got into trouble, if things went awry and he was following the orders from up above, he had the authority of an entire army that could come to his rescue. You hear me this morning? You're not in this by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. You've got an authority under which you serve. And there are those of you that are in this place. You have children in your home. You have a family. You have people that serve underneath you. God has called you into leadership. God has called you into places in his kingdom. God has called you into places where he wants you to serve. Amen. There are places where God will sometimes elevate you to the next level. Amen. But don't ever forget that we never can get to the place where we don't have to answer to God. Amen. When we get into trouble by following God's orders, we have an entire host of angelic beings that will come to our rescue. We're not fighting this fight by ourselves. We're not shadow boxing, as Paul said, but the fight that we fight is real. Amen. And it's powerful. He says, my men will do what I say, but if we get ourselves into trouble, and we've operated under the realm of the authority structure, there's a whole host that's coming to my rescue. He was a man who understood authority. In John, I believe it's chapter 21, you'll find the story of a man who was amongst the 12 disciples. His name was Thomas. We've dubbed him Doubting Thomas. Let me just give you his story in a nutshell here this morning. Doubting Thomas was there when they rolled the stone away. He was standing there when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he witnessed an incredible miracle of a dead man being raised back to life. He hadn't been dead for a few moments. He'd been dead for days. When they walked in, everybody laughed. They scorned. Jesus said, he's not dead. He's sleeping. Perhaps this is where Thomas began to kind of like, what's going on here? But he had to be shocked when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, as he stood by and witnessed the miracle take place. But then a little later on in the chapter, you'll find where Thomas gets a little bit confused, and Jesus said, I got to go away. And Thomas says, hey, wait a second. If you go away, who's going to lead us? How are we going to know where to go if you go away? And Jesus responded, said, I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth. I am the life. In other words, he was telling Thomas, Thomas, you've got to submit to me. There is no other way. I'm not one of the ways. I am the way. I am not a truth. I am the truth. And he tried to set Thomas straight here. And he tried to let Thomas know, Thomas, I watched as you stood by and witnessed the miracle. You ought to know who I am by now. And yet you're still asking me some relatively elementary questions. Thomas, you've got to submit to my authority. But what I noticed was you don't see where Thomas responds to what Jesus tells him. Thomas, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. But Thomas doesn't respond, oh, okay, I get it. He's not like Peter that says, thou art the Christ, and responds to the question when Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? And then he says, now, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ. Well done, Peter. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. But you don't hear Thomas coming back with a response. It simply goes quiet. And the next thing that you see is Philip is then saying, show us the Father, and I'll be satisfied. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Isn't that what Jesus says? But you don't hear anything from Thomas. It moves on. Thomas just kind of backs out of the way. And I'm wondering in my mind, is Thomas having some serious doubts after he's just seen Lazarus raised from the dead? You know what? It's going to take more than just witnessing miracles to get us where God wants us to be. God is looking for more than just people to stand and look at what he's doing. God is looking for people to be involved with what he's doing. God is looking not just for a pastor, a leader, a Sunday school teacher, an assistant pastor, or youth pastor to lay hands upon somebody in the church and they get sick. God is looking for the church to not just witness what he is doing, but to be a part of what he is doing. And for that to happen, we have to understand authority. Thomas doesn't respond. You don't hear anything. Jesus is crucified. He's resurrected, and he comes for a visit. The disciples are gathered together, almost all the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. He missed church service and Jesus came back. That's a different message. You might want to make faith, put faithfulness at the top of your list. You just never know what you might miss. Thomas wasn't there and Jesus just simply appears and they're all just blown away. It's true. He did resurrect. He is who he says he is. Can you imagine the exhilaration, not to mention the relief that the disciples must have felt when Jesus appeared after they knew that he had been crucified and put in the grave, and now all they have is the word of a couple ladies that have come back and said, he's not there, the stone is rolled away. And in their mind, they want to believe, but there's got to be something nagging just a little bit. It feels so good just to see him. Thomas walks up, and they're all talking about it. He's like, okay, you guys, this I get it, you know. You're sending me on a wild goose chase here? Are you guys messing with me? No, he really came back. He was here. We were all together, and he just appeared right through the walls. He didn't walk through the door. He just was here. It sounds a little far-fetched, right? Thomas makes this statement. Unless I can look at the scars in his hands and thrust my hand into his side where he was pierced, I won't believe. Still having some authority issues, huh, Thomas? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Doubting Thomas, right? Across the border of Missouri. You got to show me. I'm not submitting to his authority again until I know that he's really alive. But it did pique his curiosity enough that the next time they get together, he'd make sure he doesn't miss any more church services. Oh, you guys are getting together? I'm going to be there this time. You say he showed up? Let's see if he shows up again. When all of a sudden, Jesus is in the midst of him. And he's got a word for Thomas. Here you go, old boy. You say, take putting your fingers into my side and seeing the scars, the wounds on my hands. Here they are. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He submits completely. Not just my friend Jesus, not just the one I followed, not just the one that I witnessed the miracles, but he says, now you have become my Lord and my God. And Thomas found a place where he finally understands who is in authority, and he submits himself to serve. And the very next passage of Scripture, you will find where Thomas is not just observing a miracle, but he's got his hands down in the nets, as Jesus said, cast over on the other side. You see, the Bible says that they'd fished all night long and had caught nothing. And Jesus says, go on out there again, but this time throw your nets on the other side. Well, what point does it make? Which side of the boat we throw our nets on? But the Bible also says that Thomas was amongst those that was there. Only this time he's not observing, but now that he's come to the understanding of who is in authority, he's partaking in the miracle. You have mountains that need to be moved. Would you stand this morning? Crowd this size today, I know that there's problems. You've tried to fix them on your own. You've tried to use what authority that you have to get things taken care of in your life. But the mountains will never be moved because you'll never have the authority to move them until first you're able to look at Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. It's only when we understand the authority structure that God has in our life that God can begin to bless us, that God can take those mountains that are in our life and begin to move them out of our life. But if we're trying to struggle and muddle through on our own, if that officer would have come to before Jesus and said, you know what, I'm a man of authority and you need to do this because I'm a centurion. Don't you know who I am? Jesus probably would have said, go and take care of your attitude problem first and then come back and we'll talk about it again. We want to manhandle everything. We want to take charge of everything in our life. When we understand that not only has God given us authority, but we are under His authority. Do we have the backing of His power? And that is when the miracle takes place.